أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. As you are fortunate that you have been invited to the most divine invitation to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no doubt you will have made adequate provisions to prepare yourself spiritually so that you may be able to carry out the rituals and the wajibats of Hajj. In order for you to be able to carry out your wajibats and to get the most impact in the spirituality of this divine journey that you are going to take, it is important that you also look after your physical health. For ensuring that your physical health is in order, you will then have no problems in carrying out the spiritual and the wajibat aspects of Hajj. It is my job to inform you about making sure how you can prepare yourself from a medical and physical perspective in order to get the most and the greatest benefit out of this spiritual journey. My name is Dr. Akbar Mitani, and I have the privilege of informing you about the important aspects of preparing yourself medically and physically for this most divine and inspiring journey that you are about to embark on. I have been fortunate in the past years to have gone to Hajj with various groups as their medical doctor, and I have been a part of the Hajj medical mission where I have had the privilege of serving the Hujjaj during Hajj. The first and the most important aspect of Hajj from a medical and physical perspective is that you prepare yourself adequately before you embark on the journey. Prevention is the key to ensure that your spiritual aspect and your wajibats will become very easy to follow and you won't have any problems with them. So prevention is the best key, and it is better than cure. The first thing you need to do is to consult your family physician approximately 6 to 8 weeks before you embark on this journey. Have a discussion with your family physician about the journey that you're about to take. Inform him of the rites, the rituals, and the wajibats that you're going to carry out. Inform him of the environment and the weather and all the other things that go with Hajj. He will then be able to inform you adequately on what you need to take with you with respect to your own medical conditions that you may be suffering from. Then you need to have a discussion with him about vaccinations. Remember, vaccinations are the most important aspect of Hajj, for they will prevent you from getting infectious diseases that could be debilitating and in some cases be very serious in harming you from a physical and medical perspective. So the following vaccinations are very important for you to consider. The first one is typhoid. It is important that your typhoid vaccination is current. Typhoid is a vaccination that you renew every 3 years. If you have not had a renewal of your typhoid in the last 3 years, you need to visit your public health center or your family physician to make sure that you get typhoid in vaccination. The second important aspect of the vaccination is what's called diphtheria, tetanus, and polio vaccinations. Most of us have had this vaccination, and that requires a booster every 10 years. So you need to visit your public health center or your family physician to make sure that you get a booster for diphtheria, tetanus, and polio. If you've never had diphtheria, tetanus, and polio, then you will need to get that vaccination course right from the beginning. The third vaccination that is important is hepatitis. Now, there is some controversy about what hepatitis vaccination you should or should not have. There is two types of hepatitis vaccinations. There's hepatitis A and hepatitis B vaccinations. Most people now get the combination vaccination for hepatitis A and B. If you have already had hepatitis A vaccination, then you don't need to get hepatitis B vaccination unless you are a healthcare worker or you're going to deal with people who have medical illnesses during Hajj. If you're just a Hujjaj doing your Hajj, then hepatitis A vaccination is adequate. If you've not had hepatitis vaccination at all, then you should get the Twinrix vaccination, which is the combination of hepatitis A and hepatitis B vaccination, which will protect you from infectious jaundice. The last vaccination that is highly recommended is meningococcal vaccination. Of course, meningococcal vaccination is an absolute requirement for you to get visas, but it is incredibly important that you are vaccinated against meningococcal vaccine, because meningitis is a problem that is endemic during Hajj. Once you've prepared yourself with all the vaccinations, and now you are embarking on this particular journey, there is one issue that you need to be very clear about, and which is called a condition that is called economy class syndrome, or deep vein thrombosis. This is a condition where long and lengthy flights, which most of us take from North America all the way to Saudi Arabia, can potentially cause clots in your legs. In order to prevent having clots in your legs, which can be a very serious illness and can lead to very serious consequences, you need to make sure that you take certain measures during your flight that would allow you to prevent from this economy class syndrome. You need to make sure that you're wearing light clothing. You need to make sure that you have lots of space underneath your seat so that at all times during the flight, you're moving your legs, you're moving your, you're exercising your legs all the time so that you can make sure that there is adequate blood flowing in your legs that will prevent from the clots. The other thing that you can do is to make sure that you have adequate hydration. You need to drink lots of fluids, preferably water or fruit juices, in order to make sure that there is less chance of getting clots in your legs. For those people who are able to take aspirin, and you need to consult your family physician on whether you should or should not take aspirin, it is shown that taking aspirin before your flight can actually help you in preventing from getting clots in your legs or economy class syndrome. Whilst during Hajj, there are certain things that you need to have, you need to take precautions over. There are many small and nuisance type of issues that you may face, but there are some medical conditions that likely, because of the fact that Hajj has so many people coming from various parts of the world who are all gathered in one place at one time, you're likely to get some sort of illnesses during Hajj. But it is important to know certain things that will allow you to either prepare or prevent those illnesses, or it will allow you to manage those illnesses adequately. For example, almost many people who come to Hajj actually get a sore throat. And the sore throat is because of the dust particles that are around, because there are so many people with sore throats themselves from various other parts of the country, and because you are all together at one time, it is something that you likely will get. It is important to try and prevent sore throats, because although you may think that this is just a small nuisance illness, it can actually be quite debilitating. It can give you high fevers. It can actually get into some other complications as well. One of the best things you need to do is avoid having very icy cold drinks. It's very tempting to have cold drinks in Hajj, especially during the heat, but avoid to have drinks that are icy cold, as that will help you from getting a sore throat. The second thing you may end up getting is a chest infection. And a lot of people get very mild chest infections or bronchitis or an upper respiratory infection. But some people who do not take adequate care of themselves can actually get very serious pneumonias that can lead to hospitalization. One of the things that you need to do is try and avoid those areas where there is a lot of dust in that area, where there is a lot of people who have infections themselves, and try again to stop yourselves from drinking very, very cold drinks, as that will help you from getting a chest infection. The third aspect is a very serious part of Hajj, which a lot of people get, and this is particularly happens during your journey in Arafat, during your journey towards Mina as well. Because in Arafat, you will be in an open field, and you have to spend the time in Arafat from Zohar until Maghrib in the field of Arafat. The heat is at its peak. Also in other times in Makkah and Medina as well, in the afternoon, the heat is at its peak. So when you are in Makkah and in Medina, try and avoid from leaving the house or your hotel during those peak times where the heat is at its most dangerous aspect. This will be, of course, after Zuhr and during the time of the afternoon. In Arafat itself, again, try and avoid from getting out of the tent into the direct heat as much as possible, because that direct heat can cause heat exhaustion. Heat exhaustion is a condition that happens when, as a result of the direct heat, a person becomes dehydrated and the person starts to lose salt and water from their body through their sweat. When that happens, you may get weak, your muscles may start to ache, you may feel dizzy, you may get a headache, or you may even feel very confused. And that is heat exhaustion. If you see somebody having heat exhaustion, make sure that they immediately go into a shaded area where you can then give them lots of fluids, lots of water, and if possible, give them what's called, you know, electrolyte solution. And a lot of the Hajj organizers have that available at all times. In addition, they may need to have some salt with their water or with their juices so that they get adequate salt input. After the heat exhaustion, the worst part of heat exhaustion is if you do not treat heat exhaustion in time, the person may end up getting what's called a heat stroke. Heat stroke is a medical emergency. It is a life-threatening illness. A person who has heat stroke usually can now, after heat exhaustion, get so dehydrated, so tired, that they get completely confused, they get completely delirious, they don't know what they're doing, they don't know what they're saying, they may end up getting seizures or fits, they may get into a coma, and they may actually die. This is something that you absolutely want to prevent. You want to prevent a person from getting heat stroke and try and catch that person in the stages or early stages of heat exhaustion. At heat stroke, if a person has a heat stroke, you must try and get medical attention to that person as soon as possible, because that person is going to need to be sprayed with cool spray. They're going to need to be fanned so that the body heat from their body can be decreased, and it needs to be done by some people who have medical training with them. So having spoken to you about all the preventive measures that you need to take, the most important thing that you need to practice in Hajj, and the thing that has been shown in research to be the most effective in preventing infectious illnesses, is that you wash your hands with soap and water on a regular basis. I cannot overemphasize how important it is to wash your hands with soap and water on a regular basis, as this will prevent you from having a number of infectious illnesses. So now let me discuss with you some of the special precautions that you may need to take, that only some of you may need to take, depending on what medical conditions you suffer from. For example, people who have asthma, it is very important that if you have asthma, that you avoid those areas that have dust, you avoid perfume, you try and avoid as much as possible car fumes and things like that that could trigger an asthma episode. Importantly, remember to take your Ventolin inhaler and your steroid inhaler with you to Hajj, as these could be life-saving devices for you. For the people who suffer from diabetes or high blood pressure, it is important that you take your diabetes medication on a regular basis during Hajj. It is important that you have your balanced diet, even during Hajj, in order to make sure that your glucose or your sugars in your body does not fluctuate too much, as that will affect your energy level and your ability to carry out your spiritual aspects and your wajibat during Hajj. It is also important that you monitor your glucose on a regular basis if you're a diabetic, because that will give you an indication on how you need to adjust your diet during this very important time, which may be very different from the times that you have whilst you are in your own home, in your own country. The other precautions that you need to take, It is important that you take a spray bottle with you, because during times of heat, as you go out for different ziyarats, as you go out to do different rites and rituals, if you have a spray bottle with you or an avian spray with you, you can spray your face and your head all the time, and that will keep your body temperature down. It'll keep you cool. It will also make you feel good, but it'll also make you feel healthy, and it'll keep your body's temperature regulated at a certain temperature that will allow you to perform at your maximum level. It is also important, especially in Mina, and after you return back from Mina, sometimes you have to walk long ways when you're returning back from Mina, that you have an umbrella with you so that you can cover yourself from the direct heat of the sun, as you'll likely be walking during the day in the middle of the afternoon, where the sun will be at its peak. The other important thing is that after you have finished your qurbani, the men will go through halak, which is the shaving of the head. Now, there will be lots of people outside of the qurbani and in many places in Mina who will want to shave your head, but it is important that you make sure that your head is shaved by somebody who is reliable and is going to use a sterile blade. Because if the person who's shaving your head is not using a sterile blade, you stand a very high chance of getting very serious infectious diseases such as HIV or AIDS or hepatitis C, hepatitis B, or hepatitis E. These are some general precautions that you need to take whilst you're at Hajj. Now, it is important that whilst you're doing Hajj, that you focus first from a medical perspective and a physical perspective, you focus first on your wajibats. Once your wajibats are covered off, then you may want to venture into some of the other things like the mustahabat that may be a higher risk from a physical or medical perspective. Let me give you an example. You do not want to attempt to kiss the Hajar Aswad before your wajibats are completed, because during Hajj time there is so much rush in people trying to kiss Hajar Aswad that we have had many cases where right before we travel to Arafat, a person comes to us with fractured ribs or with broken bones because they have been trying to kiss Hajar Aswad at that time. So take some precautions, make sure that your wajibats are finished first before you actually move on and do the mustahabat. The other thing is you must get adequate sleep during Hajj. Some people are so overwhelmed because this is the first time they have gone to Hajj that they keep awake for hours and hours and days and get very little sleep. So that when it comes to actually carrying out your wajibats during Hajj, the body is physically so tired and exhausted that it actually does not function in the way that it needs to function. Exhaustion due to lack of sleep can cause confusion, can cause a lot of problems with your thinking, or even your ability to walk, or even your ability to even stand because of the exhaustion as a result of the lack of sleep. So sleep and adequate sleep is incredibly important during Hajj. Pace yourself in such a way that you are sleeping at times when the heat is at its peak, and that you are awake at times during the night when it's cooler and you can carry out your wajibats in a very balanced and adequate way. So that is very important. A lot of people ask me, well, what if I take glucose tablets? Glucose tablets will give me energy and they'll make me feel good. And that is a myth. Glucose tablets can actually give you energy, but that energy is a burst of energy. It's for a short time. After that burst of energy, the glucose tablets actually make you probably feel more tired than you would if you were not taking the glucose tablets. The other thing is make sure that you have adequate creams with you so that, you know, when you're walking, sometimes there are places in your body that may get rashes because of the heat and the sweat, and fungal creams and hydrocortisone creams may actually help you decrease that inflammation and keep you comfortable. Now, two important aspects during the Hajj. One is during Arafat. As I have mentioned, Arafat is the time where people often get dehydrated. One of the reasons is that the toilets in Arafat are not at its best. And especially for a lot of people who come from the West, who are used to Western toilets, they may find that the toilets in Arafat are not clean and they're not hygienic, and they may not want, they avoid going to the toilet, and they do that by decreasing their amount of fluids that they take, thinking that if I take less fluids, then I will not have to go to the washroom and have to face those dirty toilets. The problem with that is if you take less fluids, you have a higher risk of getting dehydrated. So even in Arafat, you need to make sure that during the time of Arafat from Zohar until Maghrib, that you have visited the washroom at least twice. And that will ensure that you are taking enough fluids in Arafat. When it comes to Mina, one of the things, one of the rituals that you will go through is hitting the Jamarat. Now, there have been many changes that have been made over years, and I'm sure there are going to be many changes that will be made in the years to come with respect to hitting the Jamarat in Mina. Regardless of the changes, you will be in a situation where there will be a lot of people around you where you're going to throw stones at the Jamarat. You need to make sure that you take adequate precautions and safety in order to hit Jamarat. Particularly for those people, for example, who wear glasses. It's important that you wear glasses that are plastic or that are not going to shatter in any way, because if a stone hits your glass, your specs, then a piece of glass can actually get into your eye. And we've had many cases like that where we've had to take that person to the eye hospital and get his eye operated on because a piece of glass has entered into his or her eye. So it is important. You may think that these are small things, but when you're there and you're in the middle of it, there will be a rush. Everybody will want to carry out these rites and wajibat as soon as possible, and there will be a pressure to do it. Remember one thing, your group organizers are experts at this, and they will make sure that each and every one of you will be able to carry out your wajibat in an adequate and safe manner. Remember, it's not a competition in Hajj. You need to take your time and do it properly, but at the same time ensure that you're doing it with adequate safety and adequate precautions so that you are healthy as you carry out these rituals. So in summary, as I have mentioned, we have talked about many things. The most important thing is prevention. You need to adequately prepare yourself, prevent yourself from getting really bad infectious diseases. The second most important thing is that you wash your hands with soap and water on a regular basis, for that will prevent you from getting many illnesses during Hajj. The third most important thing is that you take an adequate supply of your prescribed medications so that your already existing medical conditions are well controlled and that you don't have to worry about those existing conditions during Hajj. And the fourth and most important thing is just be smart and reasonable during Hajj. Don't try and do something adventurous that will get you into trouble and that may miss you out from carrying out the wajibats of Hajj. Remember, this is a journey where the important rituals of this journey need to be carried out for you in order for you to have your Hajj completed. So be intelligent about it, be smart about it, and just take care generally of your general health. Watch your diet, watch what you eat, watch what you drink, and make sure that you help your other fellow human beings who may be having some problems with their medical health and with the information that you have, so that you're able to guide them as well. And together, inshallah, you will achieve the most important and the most divine aspect, the divine invitation that you've had. You will achieve the greatest in spirituality during this most important journey of your life. يا قابل التوب لبيك من قلبي لبيك يا ربي يا غافر الذنب يا قابل التوب لبيك من قلبي.